Amen. We have won. I'm going to ask if you're comfortable with this, if you would join hands together. We're going to pray for one another with this realization that we just sung. Scripture tells us in this world you will have tribulation. Then it tells you why. It says, because I have overcome the world. Victory has already been done, so it's ticked off the enemy, and he comes in to try to bring deception with stuff. Stuff that you face. And some of you, you need to understand that God is doing a mighty work in your life. And then you're thinking, because the way you think of that scripture is, God, what are you doing because of this? I'll tell you, he's already done what he needs to do. Victory has already been won. And the enemy is trying to tell you that it's not won. But I want to tell you, we won. Amen. We won. In Jesus' name, I come against anything that the enemy has tried to bring into our lives to bring a deception, to bring us to a place that we bow down to the thing, that we bow down to the tribulation, that we bow down to the problem, that what we see and not what we know. But Jesus Christ went to the cross and had victory. And we receive that now. Breakthrough is happening. No matter what we see, no matter what we feel, victory is manifesting in our world. Because in the latter days, the Holy Spirit will move greater than he's ever had before. And we are there now. We receive it in faith, Father. The Holy Spirit is moving in our church, moving in our lives, moving in our businesses, our jobs, our homes, our families. Children that have gone astray will return in Jesus' name because we have the victory. And we give you honor for that, Father, for all you're doing. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. And as you are seated, I just want to remind you, next week we celebrate our moms. What a joy that will be. Ladies, come. I have a word for you. And it's transforming. But I want you to tell everyone, moms, tell every one of your kids. Tell your spouse, tell your coworkers, you come with me because I'm a mom. You're going to celebrate me next week. Amen? And you bring them to church. It's such an important time. Now, let me just tell you how excited I am of concluding the series that we've been doing. Actually, we've been doing three series together, interchanging them. But I'm concluding all three series today. Why I'm excited, because I'm going to be moving after Mother's Day into another message, actually 10 of them. And the reason why there are 10 of them, because we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. But we're going to see the principles that we learn of the Ten Commandments, and all of them are principles of relationship. We have a tendency to look at the Ten Commandments as laws, even though they are. We have a tendency to look at them as moral values, which they are. But they actually are given by God because they were just about to go into the promised land where God called them to be. By the way, you're where God called you to be. And they're about to go in, and he knows that when they go in, they're going to see all kinds of different things. And he wanted to remind them four of the commandments, the first four, of how you can keep that amazing relationship with me, Father God was saying. And then the last six are about relationship with others. And so when you put those all together, the lies of the religious circle is that there are laws that you can't keep, you can't do this. They're actually principles of relationship. And what I have found throughout the world, the difficulty the world has is they don't know who their God is. They don't know their Creator. And even though they've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they truly don't know who their Savior really is. And so the Ten Commandments are going to give you real insight of relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and with one another. VFAM is a church family. All of those watching online, we welcome you. You're part of our family. But this is an amazing group of people. Again, tonight, folks, don't miss it. I know we all have different personalities. Some of us don't like mingling with a crowd. Some of us don't, but come. I don't care if you come, grab yourself a taco, and go sit in the corner. It's okay. Go sit in the corner, but I'm going to trap you, and I'm going to come talk to you. Why is that? Because we have relationship because of Christ. We love one another. We are to encourage one another. Amen. None of us are perfect. We serve the perfect one. But the reality is, as we come together to just really relate with God together and with one another. So be here tonight. Now, turn your Bibles to John chapter 9, but I want to read this. I thought this was pretty funny. I heard about this old farmer. He's taking his nephew camping for the first time. His nephew had 5 degrees, though, and he is one of the smartest men alive. They set up their tent and quickly fell asleep. And in the middle of the night, the farmer woke up his nephew. He said, "Look up. What do you see?" Being so smart, the nephew said, "I see millions of stars." The farmer said, "I know, but what does that tell you?" Then the nephew begins to explain. "Astronomically, it tells me there are billions of galaxies. Meteorologically, it tells me it's going to be a beautiful day. Theologically, it tells me God is a creator." And then the nephew says to his uncle, "What does that tell you, uncle?" And the farmer shook his head and said, "It tells me somebody stole our tent." Again, we are concluding the Generous Life series. We found basically what I stated to you at the beginning of the series, probably the most important message of the series, called the principle of the first. Where you put God, first in everything in your life. But notice again, it's a principle. It can be included as a law, but it is a principle. Something that you live by. It's something that is the basis of why you do what you do. And today what I want to do is cover what I believe in this series. The second most important message is the principles, notice plural, of multiplication. Notice there are two principles that we're going to show you. And again, these principles are things that you can just allow it to be of the heart. Remember, it's all about the heart. In these relationships we have with God and with others. The relationship we have with the church. Now I'm going to show you today principles in how to multiply your peace, your joy, your relationship with others and with God, and how He restores in multiplying what His plan is for your life. But bottom line, we have to understand, A generous life changes everything, but we have to understand it's about doing it how God has set it apart in the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God. And when we live out these principles, then multiplication takes place in so many of the areas that we talked about. Yes, you will have tribulation. Yes, the reason why for that tribulation is because the victory has already been won and the enemy's ticked off. He's trying to deceive you and say that you cannot get to the place that you're desiring for your life. Every one of you have goals. You have desires in your life for not only yourself, but your family, for your businesses and your jobs. And I want to tell you, it happens, it multiplies, it super exceeds because you begin to dig deep into your heart and allow these principles that we're talking to you about, that the Bible talks about, to dig deep into your heart. Okay? Everyone say principles. Okay. It even brings about how you can multiply your finances. How many of you would like to multiply your finances? Amen. In our world today, 2 times 2 equals 0. God is not just a God of addition. He's a God of multiplication. God will add to you, but it's living out the principles that he gives so that the restoration and the breakthroughs can take place. So what I'm really talking about is multiplication happens. Why? What is the main purpose? So that you can help others. Remember, we talked about selfishness and how selfish people, it's all about them. And because it's all about them, they are exact opposite of the principle of multiplication of God. And God cannot multiply our lives when we live our lives in selfishness. You can minister to others, and God doesn't mind, watch this, this religious circle, that God doesn't mind that your kids can go to the better school, even though you're helping poor. God doesn't mind if your kids need braces and you actually have the money in the bank to pay for those braces. Or, you know, God doesn't mind, like Terry and my wonderful wife, you can get unbelievable gifts for your grandchildren consistently. That's a whole nother topic, really. See, living a life of blessing, it's okay as long as you keep your priorities straight. A generous life. So let's begin to unfurl this to you. And it's very simple. And I have learned in 46 years of ministry, 42 with my wife, I have learned that God's principles are very simple. They're not hard to live out. They're not difficult. We make them difficult. Well, let me just say it personally. Sometimes I make them difficult. And we shouldn't do that. So I want to show you today how God multiplied. Quite a few years ago, we talked about this. But I want to just give you a little bit more on this. How God multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fish and the principles that created the multiplication. What actually happened in that story that are principles that produced the multiplication that fed the 5,000? And we're going to talk about that too in a moment. In this story, there are 2 principles, and if we live by them, you will see the resources that you have now. Some of you say, I don't have many resources. The resources you have now can multiply because you change your thinking, your passion in the way you think about things and how you act or even react to things, and then multiplication begins to happen. And let me just say this to you. God can do it overnight, but it's not an overnight thing. I'm always astounded at how so many people wait till it's just an emergency before they want to do something and change something in their life. And I'm asking you to not grab the teaching that I'm doing today, or let me say it again, I'm going to say this word a lot, the principles that I give you, that God gave us, that you grab them today and believe that tomorrow everything's going to be different. What I want to be different tomorrow is you. I want hope to begin to reside in your heart. I want you to understand that after today, I'm going to give you these principles, simplistic principles, and you're going to grab them and say, some of you might say, well, yeah, I know that, but I'm just saying, is it in your heart? Has there been transformation in your heart? Is it something that you base your decisions, your life, what you say, how you think upon these principles? Or is it something that you know and, like so many, don't live it out? And then expect a miracle. I believe in miracles. I've seen miracles. I've experienced miracles. But I want an everyday lifestyle of walking in pure relationship with the Father and loving one another, loving all you peculiar people. And you loving me. Why? Because we're living our lives very generous. And we're living our lives in the principles of God, allowing those principles to transform even if tribulation comes against us. Again, it's okay as long as you keep your priorities straight. Here's a thought before we dive into the scripture. Why wouldn't God give resources to givers? That's not a negative. I'm just thinking God would give more resources to givers. And we'll find out why. Bottom line is because he can trust them to use the resources for his kingdom. Picture with me, if you will. Here's God sitting there, which he is, with all the money in the world. By the way, God owns Mars and Jupiter too. He has all that is needed to preach the gospel to the world. He can meet the needs of the missionaries to be sent. God has all things to be able to help all the orphanages in Cambodia and everywhere else. He has enough resources to feed all the people in the world and give everyone clean water and an abundance of water. He can provide for all churches that preach Christ, and he can take care of all the need because he has all the resources. Even if you're in the marketplace, this is how we do the bottom line in business. He can provide all the supply and provide all the demand. That's the God that we serve. But the difference is we don't understand that there are simplistic principles we live by that break through all this junk and deception the enemy brings in our world and the confusion of the world of finances. And we can break through. Why? Because we do it God's way. Are you with me? Okay, now, here it is. Have you ever thought between the need and the resource, God, who's in the middle? You are. The believer. The moment you became born again, God's plan is for all people to be born again, but the moment you became born again, you were placed in the middle to be able to receive the multiplication so you could do the work of the ministry, your ministry that God placed in you, with all the resources that you need. But the difference is we didn't know the principles and we tried to do it man's way. And we tried to bring our lives into a relationship with God. We love God. We worship God. We do all the things that we do. But we have to understand you are in the middle and God gives you some resources and watches what you do with those resources. You are the conduit of the generosity of God, the believer. So what we have experienced through the years in the miracles, in the blessings and all that, God moving in your life and using you because you are that conduit. You are the in-between. And God gave us that authority to be able to walk in those things. But notice, God doesn't mind if you keep 90% of the resource. If you just return, I'll use another term, to funnel 10% for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Which we found in this series, that it opens up the windows of heaven. So then what it does is opens up more resources so that then you can begin to be that generous giver above and beyond your tithe. When you're faithful, he gives you more. When you are faithful with the 90%. That's the principle of multiplication in a whole or in a nutshell. So hear me again when I say this in a humble way. Years ago, in the beginning of ministry, I did not comprehend what that meant because I was in a place of going paycheck to paycheck. And I had to decide at times, especially when the kids needed school clothing and different things. I always returned the tithe, but in the giving aspect, there were times where I gave because I had to give. And the heart of the principle of multiplication is that at times God will ask you to give when you don't have to give because it's a test. Not only the returning of the tithe, because that's his. That's not yours to give or to say, well, I'm gonna tithe and I want to use the tithe for this. No, that's returning the tithe to the Lord because it is his. But when you are living in life, now, automatically, because we're talking about the tithe, which is money, but back then, their tithe was from their crop. Their tithe was in different areas. And so let me just tell you this, is in the covenant of God, the tithe is returning the 10% of income. But the reality is in the giving of multiplication, it's giving and being faithful to God in every area of your life. From the food that's in your refrigerator, from the kind word that you can bring to somebody. Of making sure, by the way, that I would say to you that I believe, and I'm just saying this just so that you understand the principle here that has come out of the original principle of giving and being generous, is I believe that every believer should not come back to church next week without talking to at least three people about Jesus Christ. Because God gave you salvation, we need to give it away. We need to be a person that talks to people. And I do that all the time, everywhere I go. There are some times the Holy Spirit leads me. I'm wherever I'm at, and I'll say, are you born again? They look at me like, what? And are you born again? Some people say, what does that mean? Gotcha. This is what it means. Well, no, I used to go to church. I went to church with my parents or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, well, I just want to know. Planting the seed. I didn't stand there and say, you sinner, you need to go. No. Because we are a people of love and compassion, because people are lost and people are deceived. They make decisions for their life. Why would someone do that? Because they're making decisions in their life based on a deception, of a non-truth. Why they get angry, why they get offended, because they're basing a decision on falsity. And we need to get to a place where we begin to remind people of truth. So there are many ways that you can give away, which includes money too. And we must understand that when you're faithful, he gives you more. Terry and I, in a very humble way, have had the privilege, not like that I'm, you know, marking everything that I do. Look, God, what I've done. Look at everybody, what I've done. But because we understand the principle of giving, teaching people the principle of giving, is, we've said this to you before, that Terry and I have been able to be the conduit of just shy of $2 million of giving into the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying it came out of my bank account, but it's through the things that God, you know, I was on a plane one day flying home from a conference that I taught. And I was flying home and I was sitting, I was upgraded because at that time I was flying a lot. And I was sitting by this guy and we were talking and, you know, I'm thrilled with Jesus Christ. I'm not thrilled with, you know, what people have done. I've been around, you know, chaplaincy with professional football players, basketball players, and I'm not thrilled by what they've accomplished. I'm thrilled because of the person, because it is a child of God, a son or a daughter of God. So I'm sitting and talking, and after I'm asking him questions about things, and he's just excited to talk about his businesses and everything. That's so wonderful. And he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. He says, you are? He said, well, what do you do? So I began to share with him and was talking to him about, you know, some of the different aspects of going to the mission field and stuff. And just before we got off the plane, he handed me an envelope. He said, here. He said, you know, I just feel like I need to do this. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. I didn't know what it was. And I walked away. I put it in my bag because, you know, it's like when someone gives you something, you know what the temptation is? The moment they turn their back, you go, you know, what it is, right? And so I put it in my bag had the car at the airport, was driving home. And just as I parked in our driveway, I said, oh, you're going to look at that. And he had written a $1,000 check to the church. And, you know, the guy probably could have wrote $100,000 to the church. But it wasn't the amount. It was the heart of giving. And we have to understand that God wants to multiply our resources. But he wants us to, in that 90%, whatever's given above and beyond the return of the tithe, he wants us to be able to say to the Lord, it's yours also. Whatever you want me to do. So if you're watching, and I'm just going to say this, if you're watching a Christian program, and they're asking, say, oh, pastor said I need to give. I need be led of the Holy Spirit. Be a good steward of what God gives you and the resources. And there are times that, man, I'm going, man, I want to give to that. And the Holy Spirit would say, no, I want you to do this with that. So be very smart. So that's just added to my sermon today. I'll give you a little wisdom on that. Because when you begin to get the revelation that you're going to receive today and are receiving, you're going to leave here wanting to do it, like, immediately. Because it's going to change your heart. Because you see the truth. And the deception of religion no longer holds on to you. Do you really realize in 18 years that Terry and I have pastored here, you have given over $500,000 to missions? Amen. We've given to orphans, missionaries. We've rescued children from sex slavery. We've helped build buildings. We've planted churches. Thousands have become born again because of the heart of givers, using the resources of God to be a blessing. So how does God meet the need? God gives some resources to a person, and then he sees how faithful they are with those resources. Then he multiplies the resources to the faithful. Amen. And that's not saying, well, I haven't really, and I've struggled financially, or I've struggled and I've been hurt, and I've been offended, and I'm struggling in that, and I've been going to counseling. All that's good. All I'm saying to you, especially watching me online, is really begin to see the truth. Allow that deception to break loose. Because some of you even experience people, not me, but who are in the same position that I am in, have abused their position. That doesn't change the heart of God, and that should not change your heart in your giving and loving people. Luke 9, verse 12. That was just the introduction. So Jesus was preaching, Luke 9, 12. Says, when the day began to wear away, the 12, the disciples, came and said to Jesus, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions. For we are in a deserted place here. In other words, there's no Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, In-N-Out. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. I'm going to say that again. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. Jesus is bringing them back. True, they're in a deserted place. True, there's no McDonald's. But Jesus was bringing them back to the heart of the kingdom. You give them something to eat. And the disciples said, what we normally do, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. This is all we got. Unless we go and buy food for all those people, Jesus, can we borrow $100? For there were, now notice right after that, why would they even say this? All right, for there were about 5,000 men. Notice the word men. In that day, that's the way they counted a crowd. They counted the men. The reason is most were married, and when they counted men, they were counting families, and the average at that time frame for each family was 4 to 5 children. So when it says feeding of the 5,000, it's talking about 5,000 families on the average. So if you take one man and his wife and 4 kids, 5 times 6 is 30, you have 30,000 people. 5 loaves, 2 fish. So most theologians, you read books about the story and everything, most theologians believe this was probably the largest crowd that Jesus ever ministered to. Matthew 14, 21 says this, watch this, so I'm not telling you something that's not true. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So go back to verse 14. Then Jesus said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Now, I want you to put yourself in this story, okay? And what would you think in this story? First, it's getting late. Jesus has been preaching, long-winded preacher, all day. And when the day began to wear away, this means all day, and it is wearing away, becoming evening. The disciples got together and said, "Man, hasn't the word been good? But Peter, I'm starving. Why don't you go up to Jesus and just tell him the people are hungry?" Bottom line, so he can stop preaching. Now, in doing so, they walked up to Jesus and they interrupted him from speaking. And then the moment they said that, whispered to him in front of 30,000 people. But Jesus said to them, "You give them something to eat." Think about what you would feel if you were the one appointed to go tell Jesus that, because the whole crowd didn't do it, 12, went up to him, goes back to the guys, this is what he say. He said, "We need to feed them." How many of you have ever looked at where you're wanting to be and you looked at your resource and you know you're supposed to do this, but how the heck are you going to do it? That's where the disciples were. They're just like you and me. So there's 30,000 people here, and you have 5 loaves and 2 fish. So you tell Jesus, "This is all we have." Then you say, "Dismiss the service because we don't have enough." So the Lord says, "You have 2 fish and 5 rolls? Great. Have them sit down in 50s. Now, just picture with me 30,000 people sitting down in 50s. But you know how you and I are? All of a sudden, we're facing that. We're feeling that anxiousness about things in life, about our giving. We want to give. We're godly people. We love Jesus. We're faithful to so many things. And God, I know, but..." And then all of a sudden you sit down and the Holy Spirit reminds you of a scripture. Remember Elijah? Fed 100 men with 12 loaves of bread. Jesus is going to do that. He's just going to just make it just sit there and boom, all this food is going to be there and we're going to be able to feed them. See, many of the miracles that Jesus did in the time frame he did those miracles, many of those miracles happened in another way in the Old Testament. So it's nothing, hear what I'm saying, I'm not downgrading Jesus. Don't walk away that way. Jesus did what others, the Lord, had them do. But it's because they understood the principles I'm about to give you. Okay, stick with me. So Jesus, the Bible tells us that he prays over it. They're going, okay, here it comes. They're looking. How many of you have kind of gone to the mailbox? Maybe an envelope come to my mailbox or whatever. Many believers think that's what Jesus did. He prayed over it and boom, it multiplied. That's not what happened. Verse 16 tells you and me, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. He broke the bread and gave it back to the disciples. Jesus blesses it and then says, give it away and see what happens. Hebrews says, the book of Hebrews, we covered this in this series, when we tithe, Jesus receives our tithe and blesses it. So the same thing that happened there, the same thing with Elijah, said it before and prayed over that the 12 loaves of bread, same thing happened, but what happened is when they gave it out to the disciples, it multiplied. Now, I know how I would be because of my personality. I would grab a certain amount and I'd go to the first 50. And I'd go, the Lord is doing a wonderful thing. God bless you. Thank you for being here. It's so wonderful. Take a little bit. Right? How many of you ladies have cooked a meal for a large group and you're looking over it, oh Lord, is this enough? Okay? I want you to just see, this is about real life. This is not about some supernatural doing flips in church and during worship and all that and going out and doing a miracle. This is about everyday life living in the principles of the kingdom of God. As they are giving it out, the substance that they had, the bread and the fish grows. The miracle did not happen in the master's hand. It happened in the disciples' hand. The miracles that you are believing for in multiplication and resource and giving because you have a generous heart to give happens in your hands. But you lift it up to the Lord, thanking God for what He has given you. And when you begin to live out this generous lifestyle, it will change everything. It will change everything. Day after day after day, and tribulation comes in, you stand up in Jesus' name, you come against it because you have victory, and then you know stuff happens, and then you get up again and you go. The Bible says a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he gets back up. And he keeps going. And I want to encourage you, even in the economy of today, you rise up. And don't you allow the economy, man, offense, anything to keep you from being a generous giver. So the first principle is this. It must be blessed before it can multiply. Okay, understand, this is very important. 2 principles I'm giving you. What people say is this, Pastor, I give a little here and I give a little there when God leads me. But they don't return the tithe. They don't return the 10% that is God's, not theirs. Again, Jesus said when we tithe in Hebrews, Jesus himself receives the tithe. Now, I taught this before, but people tell me, you know, well, we just never tithe, or we never gave it first. Remember the principle of the first? And when we did tithe, we tithed on the net, not the gross. So there's all these little things that people go and try to figure out. You know why? Because really, sometimes when you start to tithe, return the tithe, I mean, it hurts. Your budget, it's tough. And when you start doing this and you start giving above and beyond, when the Lord leads you to do something and you know that you had, you know, $100 to go to the grocery store, which really $50 now, $100 worth 50, and you go to the grocery store, you're thinking, man, I don't have enough. But if the Lord says something to you, you need to trust your heart. Because if you are a tither, you're returning the tithe, you've opened up the windows of heaven. And the reality is that then blesses the other 90%. So whatever you do with the 90% has the blessing of God on it. And it will multiply. And this is a principle that we have to understand. And I know that's why we did three series together. I know that, well, he's always talking about the tithe. No, I don't. He's always talking about money. No, I don't. I want you to recognize that this is deception of the enemy. He wants to block this simple principle because when he does, then he knows he's entrapped us. He's got us to a place of believing God for something, watch this, that I'll say it this way, that in most cases it can't happen because we haven't returned the tithe. We're asking God to multiply something to make this work and so that your kids need braces or they need something at school or they need a uniform or things like that and you can't afford it. And the reality is that God says, you trust me. Remember, it's not an overnight thing. You trust me, and I will bless the other 90. And that's what I do now in my life because of the principle of the first that I'm always this morning. I didn't pay any bills this week. And this morning I got to the church at, I think it was 5:15 this morning. No, it was 5:30 this morning. I got to the church. And I was praying, and first thing I did is I wrote my tithe check out because God's first. And you know what that did? Because of the heart, not because I'm perfect, not because I do everything right, not because I pray everything right, that I do everything right. It's because I have allowed the principle of this to return the tithe that the 90% of everything else I have is blessed of God. Amen. It's not because I'm any better than you, because it's a principle. Okay. Here's the second principle. So you're returning the tithe, the 90% is blessed. Just like Jesus praying, and then what they gave was blessed, and it multiplied. Elijah prayed, and it was blessed, and it multiplied. It is a principle of the kingdom of God. All right, here's the second. It must be given away before it can multiply. Have you ever said, Lord, I want to do this for this? And then you went, oh God, just somehow, some way, somehow, get me this. God says, I will multiply it when you give it away. So a lot of people say, you know, God says, I want you to give $100, but you only have 50. We'll give the 50. And say, God, I've been faithful to what you asked me to do. And I heard the number 100. But, you know, some people preach, well, go out and borrow the money. No. No. Okay, and I just want to tell you, as your pastor, no. And don't go out and borrow the money. Believe God. Begin in the small way. If you said 100, give the 50. I promise you, if your heart is in right standing and you're returning the tithe, I promise you, some way, somehow, God will get you another 50. He'll multiply what you give. See how simple that is? And I know I'm going to get an email from someone. But Pastor, Lord led me to go borrow. Okay, I can't fight the Lord led you. But I'm just telling you, in wisdom, the principle is this. Return the tithe. And if you're asked to give 100 and you only have 50, give the 50 and believe God for the next 50. Or don't do like some people. Believe God for the next 50, the 50 comes and they go to McDonald's. Oh, God bless me, I'm hungry. No, you're focused. You're focused on this. It's just like when you're saving for retirement. You're doing all that. You're focused on the principle, all right? So after Jesus blessed it, the disciples, they ate too, all right? Many people do tithe. They catch that, but they don't give over and beyond. Well, I've done my duty. I give what I give to the church, and that's all. You know, I get that, all right? I do. I get that because there have been people that have used it. Tithers, your finances are blessed and have the potential to multiply, but you have to give it away. You have to give it away to someone else. Plus, just a little caveat, okay, and we're almost done. All right, a little caveat. We need to get our finances in order also. Some people struggle in budgeting. That's okay. Some people do. That's what happens. That's why you have, watch this, smarter people in that area who can help you. Because you're smarter than them in other areas. I've seen people that just really good with money, but man, don't put them next to an oven. They'll burn the house down. Because they have no clue. They have other areas of their life, they have no clue. Let me tell you, there are some things, most of you are smarter than me. But there's an area that I know, I'm still learning, that I know. But there's a lot of other areas I don't know. You know what I do? I rub shoulders with you. Hey, by the way. And I learn. I learn from smart people. And we're all smart people in the areas we're smart in. So work to get out of debt that depreciates. I won't even go any further with that because I could go forever in that. But in the process, give. So you return the tithe because it's set apart for the house of God. So let me close with this. Remember the life of Solomon? Remember what God said to him? Ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Remember that story? Now, when God said that to Solomon, you know what just happened? He was just inaugurated as king. And it had gone all day long. And you know the law of the day? When a king was inaugurated, you know what they had to do? It was a law. They had to sacrifice one bull for the sacrifice to the Lord. Solomon sacrificed 1,000 during that day. And then God, Jesus, God went to Solomon and said, ask me for anything you want. Because why? He was an extravagant giver. Remember that term? He began to give extravagantly. I can't tell you. I haven't done it often, but I've done it enough where I've given extravagantly. My wife and I. We just sold a house that we built, and the first house we ever got was we were 40 years old. We couldn't get a house till we were 40 years old. Working. Got this house. We just sold that house. We sold it to a beautiful couple who's in ministry, and we could have asked for a lot more. But extravagantly, we sold it to them for a cheaper rate. We've given away cars. And I'm not trying to tell you, look at me. I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there where you go get diapers and, you know, then you look in the paper for a sale on hamburger. And then you extended the hamburger for a couple, 2-3 days. I've been there. But I want to tell you, I'm a good steward of what God gives me, and I still budget. even though I can walk in there and I'll say, that steak is $22 a pound. I can afford that. I'm not spending $22 a pound. If you're in a meat market business, sorry. But, you know, I'm not going to do that. Why is that? Because I don't want to spend that unless there is a reason to do so, blessing someone or whatever, family, whatever it may be, but just an everyday thing, because I budget. I'm a good steward of what God gives me. You see the lifestyle here? And it's just living that life. So God, again, cannot bless selfish people who are not givers. The reason why is not they're going to heaven. They love Jesus. They do stuff. But because he can't trust them to give it away, because it will come back to them. So he said to Solomon, ask anything you want. And you know what he did? He asked for wisdom to touch the lives of others in the kingdom, his kingship. You know what God did? He gave him that wisdom, and he became one of the richest men in the world. God blessed him. Why? Because he was extravagant in the things that he did. He learned about giving. Here's my point to you. Let God bless it by being a tither. And then from there, continue to be a giver. Bake that pie for your neighbor that just got home from the hospital. Make those wonderful tamales, Elizabeth. Amen. Okay. Or that wonderful potato salad, Nadine. Y'all are good cooks, you know that? Yeah. Let's all stand. I'm just going to make a proclamation. May the Lord overwhelm you with this truth. That an overabundance of transformation and breakthrough takes place in you today, in your heart. That the reality of truth will set you free. And in that freedom, that God will take you on the journey that he wants to take you. You're not me and I'm not you. God has called you as well as he's called me. He's called you in a different manner than he's called me. You have a different purpose than I do. And so it works in different ways, but watch, it's not the law, it's a principle. Principles are what dug deep in your heart, and out of that principle, then you walk in who you are. Okay? The truth is, returning the tithe and be a giver. Two principles. But in the principle, it's where you're at, where God has you. The call of God that he has on you. If you're called to a different nation that is a very poor nation, you know, God can just overwhelm you with finances. But I want to tell you, that just doesn't happen very often. You sacrifice and sacrifice. We, the church, have actually helped bury missionaries who didn't have any money because they gave 60 years to another nation that was sore, that was poor. We've actually written checks and paid for the funeral because they had nothing. One woman, husband passed away, had no children. She was a widower or widow indeed. No family. And we had the privilege years ago to honor her in the burial. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because we're generous people. We're generous people. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're watching online, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today's the day. You can believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you'll be saved. Amen. Then you start on the journey where we've all started. Amen. In Jesus' name, I thank you for our church family. Tonight as we gather, Lord, let it be just an amazing, beautiful time of great fellowship and relationship with the body of Christ. We give you honor and praise for that, for all you're doing at Valley Community. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all. Have a great, great afternoon. See you tonight.